This podcast replay is brought to you by HialeahParkCasino.com, your entertainment destination. Casino, poker, dining, and simulcast racing so you can wager on some of the best tracks in the country. Go to HialeahParkCasino.com to sign up for promotions, giveaways, and events.
All righty. Good afternoon, boys and girls. Thank you, thank you. Way to go, Sean, and just like, hey, you're on.
You kept going.
Well, you know me.
You know, we started a conversation late in the intro, so my fault on that.
Exactly. And starting a conversation with me is dangerous because, you know, I don't know when to shut up. So that's my problem. So anyway, welcome aboard, folks. Yeah, baby. We are rocking and rolling from beautiful Hialeah Park. You know, it's amazing because I went to Hialeah High, okay? 82 at 85. Proud thoroughbred. One of the things that we did a lot in Hialeah is we did PE in the gym a lot because it rains a lot. So I get out of West Kendall now, right? And there's like a couple of little drops. So I'm not getting wet at all. You know, whatever. I get in the car, put my stuff, take off. And as I start driving, brother, it starts raining harder and harder. And at one point on the highway, the visibility was like, I don't know, 10 feet in front of me. It was bad. And then I get to Hialeah, which is like the city where it rains the most in South Florida, okay? Hialeah is home of rain in South Florida. I'm just telling you, it's the law. I don't know what happened, but somehow or another, when they decided to kind of break up how rain breaks down in South Florida, West Palm to Miami, I don't think Hialeah is behind anybody. You know what I'm saying? It's just that's the way it was when we were in school. And so I'm figuring, oh, my God, it's going to rain, and it's going to rain. I'm going to get a Hialeah. I'm going to have to get off, and it's going to be pouring. And I got my UM umbrella there. I fell to the floor there. I was ready to go. When I get here, when I'm getting off the highway to get into Hialeah, there's no rain. And I was like, yeah, baby. You know, I would figure it was going to be raining even harder here in Hialeah. And you know, how about that? No rain whatsoever, so we got lucky, which is a beautiful thing.
It was like me when I was unloading the equipment. I'm like, okay, all right, let's go. And then I was able to get in without any raindrops getting on me.
Nice job.
Unlike the fair yesterday, by the way.
Oh, yeah, on the way out, right? You had rain. Yeah, because I know that it got ugly when I left, it started to get ugly.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. 7, the show ended. I was done at about 8 doing the audio. Yeah. Then I started leaving. I left there at 8:47.
Oh, because you were waiting.
I had to wait. I had to wait it out because I couldn't even get the car close to where we needed to get to. So, so it was it was a fun time, the rain, the good old rain here.
Yeah. So a little rain. Well, it's good for the plants and everything out there. Although, by the way, all the rain and snow out west, good for all of you out there because all the reservoirs and everything are refilling up, Lake Mead, everything. And they're expecting more over in Lake Mead because once the snow melts, they're expecting more to come in. So it's actually
a lot of mobsters resting easy now.
Yeah, yes. A lot of stuff got recovered up again, and nobody's searching for any more stuff underwater now that some of it has been covered up once again. Anyway, so a lot of things. Well, actually, not too many things to talk about today, to be honest. It's there's not a whole lot of issues going on in sports. So we got all some other things that we'll talk about. We got opening day. Marlins will open up in 55 minutes. Not that most of us care or have any hope whatsoever. And that is the part that sucks, by the way. That's the part that absolutely takes the wind out of your sails, is that the baseball season has started and your season is over as a Marlins fan. You know what I mean? It's fun when Judge is hitting a home run today and you're a Yankees fan and they spend $300 million every year in a payroll. It's fun if you're an Astros fan. It's fun if you're a Red Sox fan. It's, you know, fun if you're a Dodgers fan. Yeah, there's a couple of teams around the league that it's fun when it's opening day. But really, spring, you know, is it really that hopeful for the Tampa Bay Rays? Are they going to win all of a sudden? No, they're not. You know, they're not going anywhere. And so that's kind of the part that sucks, is that I'll watch baseball and I'll watch the Marlins, but I have no more hope. And the season hasn't even started, and I have no hope. How terrible is that? At least with the Heat, as the season evolved, I figured out, okay, now I know they're not really that good, and, you know, whatever. They get to the playoffs, they're not really going to make much of an impact. And you kind of, but that's after knowing, and, you know, you watched them last year get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, you know, at least you had some hope. The Panthers had the best record in the league and got to the second round, and then they added Tkachuk, but they didn't make a whole bunch of changes. And then we figured out who they are. By the way, terrific win last night by them. That was fun. Yeah, huh? Yeah, Lyon was – that save Lyon had, like – I want to say it was like a three-minute mark or four-minute mark. Dude, he had a nasty save. It was awesome. 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 Anyway, as I digress, and at least with those teams, they've done things, they've committed to things, and they gave us a little bit of hope, and then we figured out what they are as the season has gone on. But with the Marlins, there is no hope. And that's just depressing. You know what I'm saying? Just depressing. There's no hope, and then there's no money to really get you to hope. Oh, and by the way, the front office hasn't really proven that they can actually produce bats in the draft and develop them. They've done a pretty decent job with pitching. That's for sure. They've got a good staff overall, but they don't have enough bats, and they certainly don't have the money to go out and buy, you know, enough bats. And I give them credit. They traded some pitching in order to get a young bat in return. And I thought that was really smart on their part. You know, I'm going to commend them when they do some of the right things. But in the end, we all know Bruce Sherman does not have the pockets in order to turn this around and make us care about baseball. That's the thing. And we can get to that point that we can care about baseball, but not the way they're going about it. There's no way that that's going to happen, unfortunately. So we'll keep you updated. Max Scherzer taking on, you know, Sandy today, 4 o'clock, first pitch. I think the over and under for wins is in the mid-70s for them. It's tough because that's right where I think they're going to be, right in the mid-70s. Yeah, I don't think they get to 500. I don't think they even have enough to get to 500, but I think they go to mid-70s, and that's the problem. That the over and under, I have an issue with that one, you know, overall. So, but it is opening day, and, you know, I'm sure I'll watch maybe I'll watch a little baseball when I get home. No, I'm saying it starts at 4. We get off at 6. By the time I get home, if it is faster,
might be over.
I should not have a game. Yeah. I should just, you know, replay.
You can hear on the radio.
Yeah,
on the
way home. Yeah. I can listen to the radio. Yeah,
maybe. I've been watching it because, you know, I get Major League Baseball TV for free because I'm a T-Mobile user.
There you go.
So I've been watching the games they've been going on. Just because nothing else is on right now. You know, so boom.
I watch it.
I can watch any game I want right now. I just hit my handy dandy screen, whatever game I want. Boom.
And you don't have the Yankees on right now?
No, I'm watching the Yankees over here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Tampa Bay to start. I think they're 3-10.
Okay.
So here in a minute, they start against Detroit.
Okay. All right. You know what I didn't do is I didn't make a fantasy baseball team this year. I was thinking of doing that just so I can have a little – dude, I mean, I'd rather follow my team than the Marlins.
Yeah, but it just – it's such a big commitment.
Oh, it is.
Baseball fantasy is a big commitment.
But it's fun.
It is if you're
it's every doing day.
Yeah, if you can stay on top
it's every
of
day.
It.
It's
if
cute.
You fall behind,
it's, cool.
It's like
super cool.
Like 1 year for 2 or 3 weeks, I was great. I was hitting it.
Yeah.
Doing good, and then.
Yeah, you lay off a couple days and you miss up, and you didn't put the right middle relievers in, or you didn't put the starter in that you had, and it was on the bench.
And by the way, I took a picture of today's standings because the Marlins, you know, are officially
number
on top
one.
Of the division.
That's it.
With everybody else. But, hey, I don't know. Maybe tomorrow, actually, tonight, we might be 1-0.
Yeah,
we got Sandy on the mound.
This is one of those
There's
days
that,
that
chance,
you can win.
You know? Tomorrow, yeah. Take the picture.
Scherzer owns us, but.
Yeah, but Sandy's not that bad.
Exactly. So this is the – and it's early in the season,
yes,
so maybe.
You're not
going
to get Scherzer for seven inning, more than likely you're up. I mean, Freed in Atlanta, their guy, he already left, hamstring injury.
Oh, okay.
See, so he pulled some, he's holding the back of his leg. I haven't heard what it was.
Scherzer is a bulldog.
Yeah.
He's a tough sumbitch. He is tough. I see Jamie Zoria in the house, number one out in San Jose. And he reminds everybody, yes, please smash the like button. Very important you smash the like button here and get the algorithms going. Dougie Fresh is in. He says, how can I be the man when you the man? How can I be the man, you the man? Frankie Fresco in. If you ever need wrestling advice, Big O is your man. How did I do yesterday? Which
one?
Huh?
Garcia,
I took Garcia, right?
Garcia and Reigns,
right? Oh, no, I went with Reno Reigns, bro. I went with
WrestleMania, though.
Oh, that's WrestleMania. I went Reigns because of Reno Reigns.
Yeah, it was Adam Cole and Garcia in AEW.
Right. Garcia.
I can't remember how you went about coming up with who you picked. I can't remember who you picked, though.
Was it Adam Garcia?
No, it's Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia.
Oh, I think I went with... Didn't I go with Adam Cole?
God, come on. Where are you at, Frankie? Let me know who he went with. I'm trying to hope somebody was going to jump
did
in.
Did I go with...
I cannot remember who you... I just posted it, too, and I should have remembered, but... What about Roman Reigns.
Frankie asked me.
Oh, no, I think you did go Adam Cole, because I said you're wrong on the Roman Reigns.
Yeah, because Danny Garcia doesn't sound like a wrestler,
right? Yeah, I said
wrestler,
you're 1-1.
Right?
I think that's what you did. Yeah.
Danny, yeah. As far as I'm concerned, Danny Garcia is a producer. Not a wrestler.
I see what you did there.
There you go, Danny. You're out there, baby. Much love. Knight, thank you for the love and the super chat. Opening day at Tropicana is a big deal here. Why, everybody brings orange juice or something? Why is it a big deal? I'm not sure. Why would it be a big deal when you really have no shot? The Rays are like, it's like Halle Berry. That's what the Tampa Bay Rays are. They're Halle Berry. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. How can the Tampa Bay Rays be Halle Berry? Well, this is the worst scenario of Halle Berry in your life if you're a man, okay? You're standing somewhere, and there's a glass that's about 47 feet thick, and she's on the other side saying, if you can get through, you can come on over and join me. And you're like, you can't cut through 47 feet of glass, so you can't get to Halle Berry. So you can't get to maybe the most beautiful woman in the world. And so that's the Tampa Bay Rays. They win a bunch of games. They tease you, but they never really get it done. You know, it's just one of those things. You're going to fall short, like going through a 47-foot, glass wall, basically. That's what's going to happen. Somebody's calling me from Bonita Springs, Florida. What do you think that is? You think they want to sell me some car insurance? They think my warranty is up or something?
Timeshare?
They're still doing that? I haven't gotten a timeshare one. The best is when you're getting a call and it says Egypt. You're like, what the? Sorry, dude. I don't know anybody in Egypt. Nothing against our Egyptian friends, but I don't know anybody in Egypt. It's like, it's weird, man. Weird, buddy. Weird. Anyway. So, I don't know about... Rays, your season's over already. Adam Cole, he got it right. Of course I got it right. Nobody can predict wrestling like me. Knight says, again, thank you for the love on the super chat. He says, before Brady, all they had was a decent Rays team. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Although the Tampa Bay Storm had their success in the Arena League. Right? I think that I want to say the Tampa Bay Storm won maybe a couple titles in the. Huh? No, it's Tampa. I mean, they don't have a lot. They got only a couple things to lean on. So, outside of the Bucks, they can't lean on USF. That is some bad football, bro. That's a bad program. They should have never fired Levitt, bro. They should have just put him. On double secret probation. Hey, don't be putting kids in a shed anymore. Okay? We need you as a coach. Wow, that place never recovered from that. Big O, your wrestling prognostication rationales are simply amazing. I try to I try to, you know, spread the word and help you guys out there. Big O, Marlins 2-0 in World Series, Rays 0-2 in World Championships. Yep. Yeah, but there's a difference. The Marlins went with, like, real complete teams to the World Series, where the Rays, they go with, you know, a group that they kind of put together and they hope that everything falls into place. It's a shame, unfortunately. Oakland A's and Giants games all baseball season. Baseball is the best in person. I'm going to go hockey. I'm going to go hockey. Hockey is the best live sport. I think baseball, basketball, and football are all TV sports, to be quite honest. I think hockey is the greatest live sport that there is on the planet. Okay? The best. Hockey. That's the one you got to go live. That one does not get justice on television. Television improves every other sport. It was nice to see Lone Depot with people during the World Baseball Classic. Well, that's the only time you're going to see him. Okay, so now the call is coming in from Columbus, Ohio. LeBron. Huh? It's LeBron? Okay. Could be. Could be the people at Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's Canton.
Close. In Columbus? Yes, they told us. Yes, Columbus is in between both. I think that somebody said that. Yes. I think somebody told us to stay in Columbus. In fact, next month I will be getting our Airbnb over there. What else do we have? Big O, the games in baseball are 30 minutes shorter than last year. Well, we hope. Let's wait. Let's wait till it actually starts the real deal instead of spring training. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. But I hope so. It looks like the rules are good for it. It's not going to do anything for the game, by the way. It will do zero for the game. It's not going to bring any more fans in it at all. Will not do that. So just in case, if anybody is thinking that the rule changes are going to all of a sudden help ratings and more interest and all of that. No, it'll make the game more bearable for the people that watch it is what it's going to do. But baseball marketing-wise and all the other things, they're not even coming close to football, basketball, and soccer.
The first game is pitched off at about 1:10. It's now 3:19, so we're about 2 hours
and 9 minutes.
9 minutes. The Giants-Yankees are in the top of the eighth. The Braves-Nationals are in the top of the seventh.
Okay.
So
pretty good pace.
It's a good pace. And the Braves-Nationals had an injury that took a little bit, but the Giants-Yankees seem to be going through pretty solid.
I mean, and listen, when you have like an Alcantara and a Scherzer on the mound.
Well, that's the other thing, yeah.
You know, you should have a faster game overall.
And the difference in that game is actually the Giants haven't scored yet. So right. I don't know how they're doing it, you know, if it's
so they've gone right through.
They don't have, let me see here. They have.
So they don't have, how many hits do they have?
So I'm checking right now.
Yeah. That always helps to any game. You know, if your pitchers work it well and.
Yeah, they got four hits so far.
Yeah, so they don't get any hits and they're mowing them down. And so that will also help out. When you have good pitchers on the mound, that's going to help your baseball game moving along. Normally when you would get out of a game within 2.5 hours because somebody pitched well, you're like, damn, this is great today. This guy kicked ass. He shut him down and we got out in 2.5 hours. Wow, that's awesome. And it's hard. It's hard. Dougie Fresh says, oh, calling you from a darkness retreat in Columbus. Get me out of here. Knight says, Big O, let's put it this way. Traffic downtown St. Pete is tighter than a tick's ass. Mel says, are you moving them down? No, because you have Cutter's Edge. There you go. Cutter's Edge. That's the way to go. Call William and Mike at Cutter's Edge Pro. I'm telling you. Right. Anyway, Andy Behrens will join us at 4 o'clock. So we'll have some fun with Andy. And we'll get to, we'll talk all things with Andy. Sports. Do want to remind you, Nature Bee is a proud sponsor of our program, folks. And if you're looking to, you know, get that libido going a little bit more, maybe a little allergy relief, less stress. How about boosting your immune system? That is very important in today's virus-filled world. So you're going in from a hot place to a cold building, changes of temperatures, you get wet sometimes, you go into another building that's cold, you shake hands with people, you're touching dirty knobs, all these kind of things go on, man. You're grabbing the gas handle, all these things that are full of germs. This is why you need Nature Bee, folks. And the benefits of bee pollen are, it just goes... it's endless. You can go and read about it yourself. Go to naturebee.com/big O. And right now we're going to give you a 100-day supply for only 85 cents a day. So it's $85 for 100 days. You'll be covered for over 3 months. That is awesome, folks. And it's great for a family. Kids can take it. The adults can take it. You can't OD on it because it's 100% natural. You only need two a day, but if somebody grabs 30 of them, nothing's going to happen. They're just going to be really healthy for a long time. It's a beautiful thing. Go to naturebee.com/big O. Use our code there and get the 3 month supply. Well, it's over 3 months because it's 100 days for $85 plus. We're going to give you a free Manuka honey lip balm. So check it out. Go to naturebee.com/big O and try what I've been taking for over 20 years. My daughter's been taking it. My wife's been taking it. Everybody takes it. There you go. What else do we have going on? Odell Beckham. Folks, you can step up now. I mean, maybe the Dolphins should do it, right? There'll be some Dolphin idiot out there, some fan that'll say, let's do it. Odell Beckham has lowered his request for a contract. We told you about a week and a half ago it was at $20 million a year. So Odell now understands that they're, you know, the market hasn't responded. So he right now is, you know, bringing out a blue light special for everybody in the NFL right now. You can have your very own Odell Beckham. That's right. If you want a knucklehead on your team, if you want an idiot that wears jeans on a boat in South Beach, if you want a moron that fights with the kicking net and then after that proposes to the kicking net, yep, you are looking for Odell Beckham. And guess what, folks? He has lowered his asking price to $15 million per year. You can have the unreliable, injury-prone wide receiver for your team for only $15 million a year, folks. Step up. Wait, there's more. You'll also get a head case. You'll also get a guy that's unreliable. You'll get a guy that's often injured. All of this for $15 million. I mean, what are you waiting for, NFL teams? Step it up. Let's go. Get your own Odell Beckham for only $15 million per year. What a bargain. Holy moly. That guy's expecting somebody to step up. I mean, I hope somebody does because then I can rip them for years to come. Right? Who would pay Odell Beckham $15 million at this point? That dude is still living off that one-handed catch from years ago. Wow. It's beyond me. $15 million. Woo! That is awesome. It's fantastic. I'm sure there's at least 10 teams lined up now that he lowered it to 15. In fact, they'll probably battle for him, and he'll get 16 or 18 from somebody now. Yeah, that's next. Holy moly. Any chance Alarmo could play offensive tackle for our Finns with his shield to protect Tua? Yeah, Alarmo would be a hell of a right tackle. He would be awesome. I wonder when Lamar is going to make the same announcement. Let's see. Bradster says, good afternoon, people. Odell for $15 million. What a bargain. LOL. I think we should sign Lamar and pair him up with Odell. I did the math, Big O. Despite the off-the-field bullcrap, statistically, Watson dwarfs Lamar in every way. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. But Watson is a better passer than Lamar Jackson. Watson's problem was off the field, not on the field. Remember that. That's the difference with the Deshaun Watson stuff was all off the field. You know, nobody questions Deshaun Watson as a quarterback, okay? Maybe the time off, and he didn't look good last year, and now he's got another offseason to sit on. That might take him out of his rhythm, you know? But the difference is that when you look at Lamar Jackson and you look at Deshaun Watson is a true quarterback. He's a real quarterback. Forget about the scummy stuff that we know off the field, okay? Whether it's true or not or whatever, it's disturbing, it's whatever. But I'm just talking about the athlete, the quarterback, the player. And that's the difference right there, my man. And that's why you can't compare the two passers. Deshaun Watson is a pure passer. He's a real pocket passer. He runs because he has no choice. Lamar Jackson has to run in order to be an effective quarterback. His passing game complements his running game. Without the running game, Lamar Jackson cannot be a quarterback in the NFL. And that's the part that I think we have a lot of people that they seem to not understand. And you know, when you have all these idiots on television or writers or any of these morons in the media, and they're saying, oh, I can't believe teams aren't lined up for him. Well, they're not going to line up for him. Because if you sign Lamar, you have to change everything on your offense. So there's only going to be a couple of teams that might be willing to do it. There's only going to be a couple of head coaches that might be willing to do it. And you're only going to find a couple of offensive coordinators that might be willing to do it. It's now, if you take away the off-the-field concerns from Deshaun Watson, every NFL team that needs a quarterback goes after Deshaun Watson because he's a real quarterback. He's actually a pocket passer, and that's the difference. And that's the part that people don't understand, you know? And when you have some of these arguments with people that are so pro Lamar Jackson, especially down here since he's from here, they get blinded because he's the hometown kid, right? But all you got to do is say what I just said earlier in this whole thing. One guy can make a living completely from the pocket and the other one cannot. So don't tell me that you're actually a pure quarterback when you can't make a living from the pocket. Because that's what I need my quarterback to do. Sure, does it help that you can run when you have to and you have no choice? Awesome. But if it's by design all the time, I want no part of it because I know where it ends up, injured. You're done. They broke down Cam Newton. Lamar Jackson's half his size. And Cam Newton is built like a house. That's the difference, man. And that's where people just kind of get hung up with all this crap. Get too emotional about it. Man, I'm way too stoked for the Dolphins season. Never paid this much attention during the offseason before. Well, I've always paid heavily to the offseason, to every part of the Dolphins season. But I am really, really jacked about this season coming up. Yeah, and let me, I want to explain some stuff because coming off of that conversation with Mike Silver. And if you haven't seen that video, you should watch that video. It's a great interview with McDaniel. He was so open. But one of the things that in that interview that they talk about, and this adds a little bit more to the spice of this coming season, is that, remember, when he put together that tape and he noticed what he saw in Tua and he loved it and all that kind of stuff, he then, you know, talked to his people in the front office and then they were like, we got to go out and get some offensive linemen. Okay, and then he was like, we got to get some after-the-catch weapons. And then he went back and created that tape to show people, because remember, he tells Mike Silver, I don't want to be the guy to tell everybody, hey, no, we're going to do this because I say so. He didn't want to be that guy. So he went and got the tape, made a tape, all right, offensive plays mixed in with San Francisco plays on what he wanted to do so he can get everybody in the front office looking at his point of view. And so that's what they did. They went out and got weapons. They got the running backs, one in the offseason, one during the season. They got Tyreek Hill, obviously, that they added. They were adding Cedric, too, before that. So they were adding weapons, right? And then they went and got the young kid, the tight end, that can run like the wind. He's super, you know, raw, and we'll see if this year he's able to take a step forward. But they went and got weapons. This year, I'm convinced that they're going to do something with the offensive line now because they don't really need weapons outside of a tight end. So that second round pick, more and more I'm thinking it's going to be an offensive lineman, and that third round pick is going to be that tight end. Because remember, they have their project that they like, and clearly Mike McDaniel likes the project. So if he thinks that the project has a chance, he's not really going to go for such a high pick. So I think that second rounder, that 51st pick, I think it's going to be a lineman. More than ever now, I am convinced it's going to be a lineman. When I hear that conversation with Silver, you got your weapons. You don't need it. The front office and everybody else wanted to improve more of the line. I think they're going to try to do that. So, and I know that you're wondering, well, wait a minute, they haven't made that move, and I think it's coming in the draft in that second round. I think they must like certain guys that are there at that spot in the draft, and they think that they're going to get themselves a pretty damn good player on the offensive line. And then there's a slew of tight ends, so they feel like they'll get one at 77. And I think that that's what's going to end up happening. I think you're going to see a little bit more improvement on the line overall, and then you've already got the weapons and the quarterback and the system already in place. And that's the beauty, too, that all these guys get to come back to the same scheme this year. And I think that's an enormous positive. There must be a plan in place to add another lineman or two to this mix. I think that's what's going to end up happening. Sean?
No, because I was going to ask you because, you know, they showed pictures of Greer and McDaniel at the pro days of, Penn State, I think, in Alabama and a couple other ones. And they were talking to tight ends. Do you think they're kind of throwing a smokescreen?
I think so. I think
they're looking at the, you know, offensive linemen as well, but everybody thinks they're focusing on the tight end. So
Right. Let's
feed it, and then we drop.
I think it's the third round is where the tight end goes.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think at 51, you're going to have an opportunity to get some linemen. And at 77, it just becomes that much harder for you folks. As you all know, I don't need to break any news here or anything like that. You guys know what the hell I'm talking about. So you're gonna see, and you're gonna notice that when it comes to tackles, there's probably enough in this draft in the second round that you're still going to be able to grab some guys. Whereas in the third round, you may not have the same depth at tackle. And that's where, you know, I think things kind of change a little bit. That's why I'm saying, if anything, I think that that's where this team ends up going. They go tackle in the second round, and then they go tight end in the third. For me, that would make a lot of sense. What I'm honestly most excited about is watching a proven DC run his squad. Yeah, you got Fangio, bro. That is just absolutely amazing. Tucker Kraft could be there in the third round. It's a possibility. Okay? There'll be several guys in the third round. He'll be there for sure at 51. Guaranteed. He'll be there at 51. Big O, if Tua plays all 17, do you agree he passes for over 4,500 yards? Yes. Yes. I would like that number. Yeah. Yeah. He missed, five games, and didn't he hit 3,000? Did he hit 3,000, I want to say, or 2,900 or 2,800 or something? Tell me how much he threw for in this season. Because he missed five games, so he played 12. Technically. Right? Because he left early a little bit on one of them. That's why. So it's really, maybe 12 and a half, actually. Oh, researching now how one cuts through a 37-foot thick glass wall. It's going to be hard. When you can find out how to do it, tell me. 35, 48? Oh, 20. You what? Say it again. 3,548. Oh shit, dude! He had 3,000. He had 3,528 yards. 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Yeah, I know the 25 and 8. So if he had 3,500 yards, easily with five more games, he gets 1,000 yards. Yeah, he might be pushing 5,000 yards. Yeah. He might be pushing 5,000 yards if he plays all 17. That's what I think ends up happening. Big O, if we get a tight end in the second or third round, what do you think of the narrative? It takes 3 years to develop.
It takes 2 to 3 years for any player pretty much to develop. Okay? Some take four. and some show up right away. I think that's unpredictable. That's depend. Kader Kohou. Undrafted, Division II, and you played him right away. And he did a pretty damn good job overall. You can't predict that stuff, dude. You know, Noig Monogamy. Never got it. Been in the league for 4 years. Here comes his fifth season, and the kid is completely lost. Absolutely lost. It's really hard to tell. You know, Christian Wilkins probably busted out in year three. Two, it was a turning point, and then three was kind of his bust out season. Yes.
No, I was going to say, but with the tight end, with Mike McDaniel, you have Smythe, you have, what's his name? Beaufort?
Oh, yeah, Saubert.
Saubert, I'm sorry.
Sobert.
So you have those two veterans.
Right.
You can make packages to, you know, bring the tight end along. You don't have to just throw him out to the Wolves.
Right.
And with Mike McDaniel.
Good point.
Also, I think it comes down to
and you can
the
trust
coach
Mike.
Scheming, too, as well. I mean, sometimes coaches are just like, look, this is my system. Go out there and learn it, or you're sink or swim. I think with Mike McDaniel, he would, you know, bring him along easier than just...
The project, Tanner Connor.
Yeah.
He had him open twice.
Yeah.
He schemed him perfect,
yep.
And then the kid dropped it.
Yep. So I could see that happening, and then you have, you know, Smythe and them for the more complex plays until he works in as it goes instead of throwing him just straight to the Wolves.
I'm intrigued by Tanner Connor because I want to see what kind of progress he makes because he can fly like the wind, dude. If that kid can, you know, turn the corner, it's hard, man. Marino came off the bench and just kicked everybody's ass. You know what I'm saying? And then there are some quarterbacks that maybe Drew Brees took him a couple of years, like his fourth year is when the light went on, the year they drafted Rivers. And what are you going to do? It happens. It's really hard to predict. Look at Channing Tindall. Could not get on the field last year. Hopefully this is the year that he figures it out in year two, and then he's off and running. Brandon Jones. Year three was the year that he started to turn the corner in covering, and then he got injured, unfortunately. He was a good safety overall against the run and against and blitzing and all those kind of things, tackling. He's really good at that. But he lacked a little bit in coverage. And year three is where he really started to show. Everybody is different, man. It's really hard to predict when somebody's going to turn the corner. You just hope they turn the corner as soon as possible to justify the pick. So let's see. What else do we have? Smythe has one bad play all year. The fourth down, that was bad communication between him and Tua. Yep. Big O, this Saturday starter for Marlins, Edward Cabrera, had some great stuff. I was watching him in the spring training. He has some starts last year. Yeah, no, I know Edward Cabrera's got terrific talent, but they can't score runs. And you can't live your life where you're just going to, you know, shut everybody down. That doesn't make any sense. You know? It's just not, it's just not reality overall. By the way, speaking of Sloman's Home Shield, they are a proud sponsor of our program and our platform. You can call them at 1-800-ALARM-ME. And I know winter is finally, you know, weighing down. And although you still are dealing with some cold weather up there, and in certain states, well, California has been dealing with it, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Maryland, Virginia, Georgia. Folks, if you're paying for heating oil, you know what you pay. Well, guess what? Sloman's does a great job. They've been servicing Americans now for over 100 years, taking care of them, alarm systems, oil, you name it. 1-866-OIL-DEAL. They use fixed prices. So you know what you pay a month. Ask them. All you got to do is call. Free consultation. Just ask. What are you charging? And you can find out how much money you can save. Tell them that you heard it on the Big O Show. And, of course, when it comes to alarm systems, Sean Stanley's home, my home, protected by Sloman's Home Shield, folks. 1-800-ALARM-ME, and we're going to give you a free doorbell camera right now to the first 40 Big O listeners. And listen, when you use our professional installation and our low-cost central station monitoring, you're going to get an LED touchscreen pad, a motion detector, three-arm doors, and a backup battery, and you're just going to love using the Sloman's Home Shield. Whether you're home or you're away from the house, you always know who's coming up to the door, deliver a package, food, or maybe they're just selling something that you don't want to deal with. You don't have to answer the door. You can just look at your phone and see who's there. Stay in the living room watching television, let them ring the doorbell, and then they'll leave eventually. Or if somebody's dropping off something, I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. And you can even put a camera in your home, around your home, on the backyard, all over the place. I have one inside my house because I always like to keep a watch of our dogs. Even when we're away, you always want to check out on the doggies. Go to 1-800-ALARM-ME and tell them that you heard it on the Big O Show that you want a free doorbell camera. 1-800-ALARM-ME. Big O, I think I need to get other Tua stuff. I hope Canesware has my size. Well, they've got a bunch of stuff there at Canesware. Go to canesware.com, man. Go online. You can check out a lot of the stuff there. They have your size? No, so then you're good. They have big sizes. They got my size. They got Sean's. You're good, bro.
They have all the way up to damn.
All right, well, there you go. So if you're in that measurement of damn, they got that too. We have a QB away from a Super Bowl until we're middle. We're a QB away from the Super Bowl until we're middle of the pack. I saw the highest rated passer in the NFL playing for the Miami Dolphins. I love those stupid comments, like the one that Jarvis just sent in. You know, you're like a king size dumbass. Like everybody that's been here since Marino can't even hold to his jock. You know, it's like some of you idiots actually think that you can come up with a quarterback, you know, like right away. And then meanwhile, this guy was, you know, the best passer in the NFL. It's the level of, this is why I know I see morons that watch Fox and get lied to, idiots that think that Biden actually knows what he's doing, you know. There's a reason why we have so many stupid people in this world. There's really, and Jarvis right there is a king-sized dumbass like a lot of you that say the same stupid thing. You have a quarterback that is the best quarterback you've ever had since Marino. No one you've ever had comes close to this guy. And so for 20-plus years, you see they can't find a quarterback. But then this guy kicks ass, and yes, he's had an injury history. There's no doubt about it. Plenty of other players have had injury history, and they've overcome it to go on to have a career. By the way, Alec Ingold got here with an injury, and he overcame the injury in the offseason, played the rest of the year. And last year, really, it wasn't about injuries for Tua. It was about the head trauma thing, which is kind of flukish, because that's not something that's really normal. But I love how you think you're a quarterback away when that's exactly what you have. You to find somebody better than Tua,
You're not even going to find that. It's not even close. But, hey, man, listen. People like Jarvis prove to me why, you know, there's a lot of stupid people in this world. A lot of naive people in this world. Don't get it. Don't understand it. But, Jarvis, you stay you, buddy. Oh, don't pull on Superman's cape. Don't spit into the wind. Don't pull the mask off the old Long Ranger. And don't mess around with Mickey Mouse and a team of world-class lawyers. Yeah, did you see what they did to DeSantis? That was awesome. That was so awesome. That was so awesome. Bob Iger is just like, he's the man. He's the man. That was, you know what we're talking about, Sean? I think most people have no idea what we're talking about. That's fine. I'm not going to elaborate on it. But yes, Dougie Fresh, that was awesome what Iger pulled off. He took the power away from that committee completely. Like, they found the loophole and their lawyers, and it's over. It's over. They took him completely out. Big O, could you imagine if Dan Marino played today's defenses? Yes. 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 What is it? He has a total of 8 wins with the number one passer rating, 1-4 in his last 5 starts. Yeah, bro, I get it, man. You know, whatever, Jarvis. You know, then, brother, why are you watching this platform? Why are you cheering on the Dolphins? Why are you watching? Season's over, bro. Leave. Get out of here, Jarvis. It's over, dude. There's nothing to talk about. I'm not here to convince your ass. So, you know, I'm here to make fun of your stupid ass. That's what I'm here to do, Jarvis. I'm here to make fun of your low IQ. That's all. Let's see. Get Laporta or trade up to 4 in Washington. No, they're not going to trade up. But Laporta is a possibility. He could be there. There's no doubt. Shouldn't Odell be on a no-fly list? I can't imagine him taking a cruise to a game playing in England. He'll arrive 3 weeks later. let's see. Big O, don't let AI replace you. Yeah, I don't think they'll ever come up with an AI like me. Huh? Oh, God. He said Lamar coming home. Here we go. Yeah, we don't need this. You can block him already. Yeah, when stupidity just gets to a point, I don't need that here on this platform. Later, Jarvis. See ya. We don't need stupidity. That's just, you know, morons are not needed on the platform, Jarvis. So just in case, I don't know if you know that, but I have zero issues getting rid of morons. And you're a moron, so we'll get rid of you quickly. And we don't have to worry about you ever again. That's it. Clown show. All right, so Heat last night. Can you be any more pathetic? By the way, Jimmy Butler took the night off to then come back and score 12 points. What happened? The neck? Had a crank in his neck or something? Gabe Vincent was hot last night. Tyler Johnson shot a sizzling 2 of 10 from 3-point range. I'm sorry. What did I say? Like Tyler Johnson. He did shoot like Tyler Johnson. That's a good one. That's a very good one. Bam Adebayo, passive Bam, is back. 4 of 10 shooting. So now you're in this, huh? Duncan, baby. Yeah, oh yeah, Duncan actually hit some shots yesterday. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he actually hit like 4 three-pointers, I want to say. It's like, wow, he hit actually a couple of three-pointers. They're now in the 7th spot. Now they find themselves, what is it, like 5 games left? 6 games, what do they have? 77, 5 games left. And they're a game and a half behind the Nets. And they're in the 7th spot. They've lost 3 in a row. Most important time of the year. This is just, let me tell you something. What Spo did with this team last year was amazing. Because this is what they really are. How he got them to overachieve last year to get to where they got. Just like he did with the Scrubs. that he got him to 500 and 31-10, just like he did with the bubble. None of those teams are that good. That's all Spo getting those teams to overachieve. The common denominator throughout all of this, and I'll keep repeating it over and over and over and over again, Pat Riley and Mickey Arison are not doing their job. They are not building teams that are good enough to the Heat standard. Good enough maybe for the Magic standard. Good enough if you're a Washington Wizards fan to just get in the playoffs and, you know, attend. But if you're a Heat fan, this is not Heat standard. And you've taken cheap cuts. You got to stop being cheap. And Pat Riley has got to start making better decisions here. That's what's going on. Saturday, you're facing the dynamic duds. Okay? All right? You got Doncic and Kyrie Irving. You got to beat those bums. And if you can't beat those bums, you know, I mean, listen, I don't have much hope anymore for the Heat season. I've given up on this Heat season for a while. I watch it. I watch every game. I watch the Panthers. That was a nice finish yesterday. But they're disappointing as hell. And I'm sorry. And Spo continues to fool us. And that's the problem. He's too good of a coach. And then we get to the bubble and we think we're that good. And at that moment you were, but it really wasn't the realistic thing that you were that kind of team every year or anything like that. You just were lightning in a bottle. 2003 Marlins, lightning in a bottle. Then you grab all the scrubs, Whiteside and all that, in a year that you're kind of rebuilt. And you get to 500, you almost make the playoffs because you have a 31-10 finish. Thanks to the same man that makes it look way better than what it really is, bro. Eric Spoelstra. And it's the same shit last year, dude. This team wasn't that good last year. It's just that he can coach his ass off. But you can't ask him to be a miracle worker every year for you. And if you want to keep giving him Kyle Lowry and you want to keep signing these guys that you pick up off the street and they're really not stars and you're giving them multi-year deals and you're tying yourself to a bunch of bad salaries, well then this is why you're in this bad position. And you keep asking the chef to be a magician every single night in the kitchen, and he can only do so much, man. And I'm watching him post game and, oh, we've accepted this challenge, and I'm paraphrasing whatever he was saying last night. And did you watch your team last night? They didn't take on no damn challenge. Pathetic, dude. The Heat it's a sad bunch this year. And I hope that over the next couple of years, because, you know, they're not going to be very good next year either. They're going to take a couple of years here to kind of clean out these salaries. But we're going to go through a couple of rough years here. Yeah. You can bet your ass on that. Let's see. What I really find funny, says James Steele, is that there are some fans that actually think that they're smarter than Mike McDaniel. Clowns, I know. Right. Yeah, like this last idiot we just banished. Aggressive Bam never came back from the All-Star break. We're done with this season, right? A lot of them playing like it's already done. I'm with you. Spo's the GOAT. Yeah. Yeah, and Fishing Laws, I don't know what happened to Bam, bro. Like, and there's no excuses. You know, I was talking with Ira about, oh, well, you know, it takes a lot out of somebody to keep it going for the whole year, this, that. Brother, he's young. He's in his mid-20s. He's been in the league already enough time to build up the stamina. Let's go. It's not about stamina. It's about heart, determination, and dedication, and hunger, and want, and need. And if Bam wants to play his ass off, he needs to work harder at playing his ass off and be better on offense and be a factor. Passive Bam just, you know, drives my ass crazy, to be quite honest. Big O reminds me of my neighbor's pit bull. He's nice and he's friendly, but if you piss him off, he will bite. Yeah, That's my dog Maiden. She's an angel with me and everybody in our home, obviously. But if a stranger shows up, somebody knocks on the door, yep. All of a sudden, the fangs come out, the nails, the talons. Because I don't cut her nails. She's got talons. My wife goes, why don't we cut her nails? I go, no, she's a guard dog. I don't want to cut her nails. Because, yeah, she'll leave you some scratches once in a while playing around or whatever. And you're like, damn, dude, I got to cut those nails. But you're like, no. Let her use those nails one day. I hope she never has to use them, but if she does. So, yeah. Yeah. I just don't have a lot of sympathy for stupidity. Really, that's what it is. And when you discount Tua, like, oh, no, we can go get another quarterback. And then, like, what has been going on for the last 20 years, you idiot? Chad Pennington? John Beck? Ray Lucas? Ryan Tannehill? Jay Cutler? Pat White? Like, what are you talking about, moron? You know, it's like, we've never had a quarterback that can play like this since 13. It's so stupid. It's ignorance to the highest level. If you're a Dolphins fan, you are wanting Tua to succeed. You need Tua to succeed. You want them to find more linemen. You want him to be smarter with the football. That's what a real fan and an intelligent fan wants to say about Tua. A dumbass, ignorant fan says, oh, no, we got to go find another quarterback. Like, yeah, no, the track record's been there for 20 years. Yeah, no, you're pumping out those quarterbacks every other year. Yeah, no, definitely. Not only do you have your starter, but you draft capable backups and you're trading them constantly. And, you know, we're a quarterback factory here in Miami. Have you watched that interview finally with Mike Silver? Did you watch the Tua part? Go to the 25. Go to the 25 minute mark and start there. Start at the 25 minute mark so you can hear the Tua stuff. The stuff before is about him getting the job and all that other stuff. On the 25 minute mark forward, you'll start hearing the Tua stuff. Listen to that. And then any fan that says he wants another quarterback after listening to the head coach talk about his quarterback, it's like, dude, how stupid are you? Like, seriously, are you listening to that guy? He knows more offense than you and I ever will know.
But everybody's been saying it for time now that you've been saying it since Tua's the quarterback. Right as soon as the season ended? Before the season ended.
Yeah.
You said Tua's going to be the starting quarterback next year, and still.
And same crap as always. The wheels are falling off the Heat bus. Andy, the wheels fell off already, bro. They fell off a while ago, and they fell off of Pat
Riley.
The
donuts are falling off now.
Yeah. The players are falling off now, but it's really Arison and Pat, okay? And again, I will repeat over and over and over again. I can be critical of Pat Riley, and I can be critical of Mickey Arison. Doesn't mean I want them gone. Doesn't mean I want them to sell the team. Doesn't mean I want Pat Riley to retire. Those people have given us heaven in basketball, okay? Going through a little rough patches here, okay? The Heat aren't the Magic. They're not the Wizards. You know, they're not the – I know the Kings are now pretty good, but, you know, they're not those perennial losers and all that. This is a damn great franchise, but they are going through a rough patch now. And for them, a rough patch is still making the playoffs, but you're not very good, okay? Remember, that's a difference between a rough patch with the Marlins, who show up and go nowhere, than when the Heat, a rough patch is barely making the playoffs. But those two gentlemen – are the issues. Forget the players, certainly not the head coach. The two gentlemen need to have a meeting of the minds, and they need to say, are we really committed to winning here? Are we really trying to win? Because we're kind of half-assing all of this. And we're settling for players that we shouldn't settle for. That needs to change. So Pat needs to tweak what he's doing. Stop giving in to players. And Mickey Arison, abre la cartera. Let's go, bro. Whip out the checkbook. Come on. Spend the Bitcoin. Come on. Let's go. Hour number two will start with Andy Behrens and our Sports Grill Miami Dolphins and NFL report.